The verse itself, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Two verses. How many people read it that was here last week? Let's see. Amen. Give it up. That's just awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So I wanted to open it up a little different than I normally do. I want you to hear this because, and it's funny that Patrick's here because he has everything to do with this. Patrick, raise your hand real quick. Amen. All right. I call people out. He knows that. I want to start off a little bit different than I normally do because this really hit me in a weird way. I used to be addicted to porn, used to be a player, a former alcoholic, y'all. Ain't fair. I'm trying to imitate Christ and love unconditional and praise his name even when it's not traditional. See, I was told by my pastor, I can go hard when it comes to the master. So I love, learn, live, do it all on purpose, employed by God full time, no temp service. No plays off, Lord, keep me in the game. I'm trying to make sure the devil knows me by my first name. So if you need proof, take a look at my life just 6 years ago. Was probably cheating on my wife 6 years ago. A deadbeat father 6 years ago. Was probably hated by my daughter 6 years ago. But God, even in my worst condition, was watching over me. The great mathematician waiting for me to look up so I can be found. 6 years later, look at me now. Pastor, husband, responsible father. I'm looking at the devil like, dude, why bother? I'm wearing the full armor, Ephesians chapter 6, and I ain't never scared. I know the fight is fixed. Even in my filth, his love is a diaper. Ain't really into cars, but I do dodge vipers. And my Civic reminds me of his name. See, front to back or back to front, he remains the same. C-I-V-I-C, C-I-V-I-C. Hoping you see all of him and none of me. Praise him for what he's already done in my story. His love, my growth, his glory. I'm not rapping these words so that you're impressed. I just want you to see that in Christ we have rest. Amen? Amen. That is actually, I didn't know Patrick was going to be here, but that was the first song we did, and I just, some of the words switched up for the sermon, but I want you to see this. May 28th, 2011 is when I accepted Christ. Today, 6 years ago, is when I accepted Christ. And I want you to understand, those words mean something when I put them together. You see, I didn't get myself together before I came to Christ. I was a deadbeat dad. I was an unfaithful husband. I had so many things wrong with me, and I thought I went so far gone, so far in my sins that there was no hope for me. You see, I always heard about sin, but I didn't know about the good news. So since all I heard about was sin and sin and sin, I figured, well, it's too late for me. I've done too much, and there's no way I can earn my salvation. There's no way I can get God to save me or forgive me for what I've done over time. In this Bible verse, it opens up this section of scripture. Jesus says, "Come to me." I'm gonna make this real short and sweet. I told people 15 minutes. I don't know if I can do that now. But we're gonna start off with the first point, and we're gonna look at the invitation of Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Just stop there. The invitation of Jesus. I want you to notice something. He doesn't say, "Come to the church." He doesn't say, "Come to Oprah." He doesn't say, "Come to the pastor." He doesn't say, "Come to your friend, your thrive." He doesn't say, "Come to the next serve event that we're doing." He says, "Come to me." Right? It's an invitation. And in the Greek, it's an urgent invitation. It's not like, "Hey, Sarah, if you're not doing anything today and you got some extra time on your hands, come to me." No, no, no. In the Greek, it's an urgent, "Come to me now." Right now. In other words, you don't have time to go get yourself together. Because I could be back tomorrow. I could be back when you walk out this door. Come to me now, right this moment, to Jesus, not to church, not to your doctrine, not to your theology, but to Jesus. Come to me. And he goes on about the in the invitation. He says, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, those are those who, the weariness is the works. It's like self-inflicted work. The heavy ladenness is the law piece. It's the sin infliction. He's saying, come to me as you are. We always tell people, hey, Keith, you got a basketball jersey on, man. Come on. We don't care. Come as you are, right? You got shorts on. Come as you are. You're wearing a Wally Palooza shirt. Come as you are. And we use that, like we take that text, and this is what we use it for. Oh, it's church. Come as you are. But it's so much more deeper than clothes. He's looking at you and saying, not only can you come as you are on the outside, but come as you are on the inside. You got problems with maybe racism? Come as you are. You got problems with adultery? Come as you are. You got problems with anything else going on in your life? Come as you are. I want you exactly as you are, because I'm telling you right now, if I look back 6 years ago, the reason I came to Christ is because I was tired. You see, I tried time and time and time again to get my life together. Oh, I'm not going to do it again. Oh, I'm going to stop. You know, like diets, right? I'm going to start on Monday, right? I said that like January 1st. But that's how we treat it. I'm going to get myself together, then I'm going to go to church. Or I'm going to get myself together, then I'm going to open up my Bible. Or I'm going to get myself together, then I'm going to start praying and coming to Jesus and fellowshipping. I got to get myself together. And he looks at you and says, no, you can't do it. You cannot get yourself together. So come now. Aren't you tired? Who's tired this morning? I'm tired. I am so tired of trying to put on the right face for the church folks. I'm so tired of trying to act like my child has it all together. I'm so tired of acting like me and my wife don't get into it every now and again, right? I'm tired of trying to be all those things for all these people when Jesus simply says, come to me exactly how you are. You want to fix your marriage? Come now while the marriage is broken. Because the more and more you try, you're just going to do more damage because you're not doing it my way. So come to me. You having problems with your children? Come to me with that. I'll take care of that. Humble yourself and realize you're working trying to earn something you can't earn. The entire Old Testament was to show you that you can never be holy. 613 commandments. You break one, you break them all. That y'all want to do it that way? Because I tell you what, I broke a commandment on the way here. That's how it works. It was to show you that you cannot do it. It was to show you, like, there is a heavy load if you try to take that on your shoulders and try to earn your own salvation and try to keep all the works and try to, and we do it today. Like, sometimes we look back, oh, that was the Old Testament, but we do it today. You're concerned if you know enough, or sister so-and-so is judging you because you didn't come to church, or some people might even came in here today and said they let their church go camping? That's not traditional, right? Because we're no different than the Pharisees. America has created all these things that make you a good Christian. So people stop coming to church because they feel a weight that's not even a weight for them. They're like, I don't want to go to church because I feel like I'm going to be judged for insert problem they have. See, we tell them this is a home for the sick. But if they come in sick, we got something to say about their sickness. Jesus says, come to me while you're sick. Come to me while you're tired. Come to me with that burden. And in the context here, he's speaking to Jews who were dealing with Pharisees that were laying heaviness on them. Let's look at Luke 11:46 real quick. I want you to see this. Jesus said to the lawyers, he had just got done rebuking the Pharisees. He said to the lawyers, woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh man down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. In other words, I'm going to make you do something that I won't even do myself. Hey, Lewis, it's against the law to go to Five Guys. Exactly, because I, you know, like I'm going to give you something that you that I want you to keep to be a Christian, but then I'm over there with the Cajun fries. That's what it looked like. That's kind of out the box, right? But that's what it looks like. Like the Pharisees were telling the Jews, you do this, you keep 613 commandments, but they weren't even keeping them themselves. You're under the law, but they weren't even keeping the law themselves. And Jesus looks at those same Jews and says, come to me. Come to, not the teachers who've memorized the scripture. The Pharisees knew the scripture by heart, word for word. They're these great, you know, learners of the Old Testament. And he says, that's cool. That's a whole lot of religion. I need relationship. Come to me. I know you're tired. I know that's a heavy load. Come to me, Jesus. Not to the next church function. Not to the next whatever it is that America wants to insert that says this is what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is your relationship with Christ. So you can do all these other things and have no relationship with Christ, and therefore you've done all this work trying to earn your way to heaven just for him to come back and say, I don't know you. Let that sit. All this working, all this heavy laden, all this carrying of I'm doing this, I'm keeping this, I'm doing that, and I don't know if I've done enough to earn my way, but I hope I have, and you have no rest. Because when have you done enough? How many of y'all prayed before you went to bed last night? Couple, some people didn't. I didn't pray last night before I went to bed. I passed out on the couch working on this. That might not get you to heaven according to certain laws. How many of you were speeding on the way here? Wow, look, transparency, amen. I have taught the church something, right? No. But the Bible says obey all the laws of the land. You just broke a law. You're no different than a homosexual now. You're no different than an adulterer. You're no different than a racist. Y'all still want to earn your salvation, or do you want to come to Jesus? Accept that invitation. So the first part here is the invitation of Jesus. Go back to that Matthew real quick for me. The first part here is the invitation of Jesus. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. What I like about this is it's an invitation to all, but still specifically to those who are humble enough to admit that they're tired. Humble enough to admit that it is a heavy load. Not those who are trying to walk around like we got it all together. Those are the ones who don't come. It's harder for a rich man. Why? Because he's not humble enough to realize he doesn't have it all together, regardless how big his house is, regardless how large his bank account is. He's gotten so prideful in what he's done that he doesn't need to come to Jesus. So Jesus says, come to me all who have come to that point of humility that you need me. You're tired. You're exhausted. It's an overexhaustion. The Greek there for weary is like I have worked so hard that I just can't work anymore. I don't know about you, but 6 years ago, that's where I was. I worked so hard at trying to get myself right for my wife, for my daughter, for the new people I had encountered at church because I started going to church, and I was trying to do all these right things, all these works. And I was at my pastor's house, and I was just tired. And I was just crying at his table before he cut my hair, and I said, this rest thing you've been talking about, I don't have it. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I'm hurting. This is heavy. So he walked me through the Romans Road, showed me that I'll never be able to do it by myself. And I accepted Christ's invitation. So I want you to see that invitation first, but now I want to go to the second point, and I'm moving here. The instruction of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, this is funny because I told you guys on GroupMe when I said way back when I started with Pastor Taylor and he was teaching me about the Bible, he said, have you ever read the Gospels? I said, I thought that was a singing group like the Temptations. And then I saw this yoke I read, you know, take my yoke. I read that verse in the Gospels, and I thought it meant eggs. And when people were saying I'm unequally yoked, I was like, so we got different eggs? Like, I like scrambled, she likes omelets. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but we unequally yoked. I don't know. She likes omelets. I like scrambled eggs with cheese in it, so maybe we can't be together because, I mean, right? And it's funny, but a lot of people hit me privately and was like, oh, that's not what it means. It's not a yoke. Like, Y-O-L-K? And I was like, no. It's a yoke, Y-O-K-E. So I just wanted to put that up so you have a little visual here. It's not eggs, I promise you. But what it is, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is the instruction. So it's not just a come to this invitation, but you gotta do something with it. You can't just come to him and then just stand there. You got to actually submit, surrender, take the yoke upon you. Put your head in there with his. Now, I want to show you this. I can't reach all the way over there. Y'all just gonna have to kind of work with me over here, right? If you look at the picture, though, you see the two parts where oxen would put their head in, right? He's telling you, come alongside him and put your head in, because he's going to be the bigger oxen, per se, and he'll take most of that weight. You still have to walk with him, because this is a Christian walk, not a Christian stand, right? So you still have to walk. There's still going to be a little bit of weight. You still have to move forward, but you're doing it with him. So he says, take my yoke upon you, because the yoke of the law puts all the weight on you. The yoke of church attendance puts all the weight on you. The yoke of your Bible reading puts all the weight on you. He says, come to me, take my yoke, not your mama's yoke, not your daddy's yoke, not the yoke of the criticisms and the expectations of the church. Take my yoke upon you. So you're yoked up with Christ. He's going to be bearing the majority of that weight. You just got a little bit. You ever been like lifting? And the weight's heavy, so you get somebody to take some of that weight off of you. Well, just imagine, like, Christ is doing the lifting, and you just kind of spotting a little bit. He don't even need a spot, but he's just giving you an opportunity to learn from him. Like, if you go back and look at oxen, if you just get on YouTube and YouTube oxen training, what you'll see is that they will take a baby oxen and yoke it up with an oxen who knows what they're doing. And the baby oxen will learn how to walk and how to pull that burden until they grow big enough to have something yoked with them. So honestly, if we're doing discipleship, this is a discipleship piece here. If we're yoked up with Christ and we're learning to walk by watching his walk, imitating his walk, then we can tell somebody else to come alongside us and yoke with us. And essentially, by them yoking with us, they're yoking with Christ. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, not about me. You see that? Not about me. A lot of us have learned a whole lot about Jesus, but haven't learned from Jesus. You can tell me all kinds of stuff about the scripture, but you can't tell me nothing about him. This is a gaining of understanding from experience. That's what it means. It's not I read a whole bunch of stuff and I have a knowledge up here. This is, I've read a whole lot about Christ. I'm in my prayer life with Christ, and I'm surrendering to Christ. So I am walking with Christ. And from my experience of watching him walk and walking next to him, I've learned. I've gained an understanding from my actual experience, not just reading. That's what this learn is right here in the Greek. So that's the instruction. He says, the invitation, come to me. The instruction, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, he gives us pastors, teachers, siblings in Christ to help us on that journey. But ultimately, like we're doing in this series that we're doing, you need to get it for yourself. Because when you don't, that's when we have cults that'll tell you whatever they want to tell you, and you don't want to read it for yourself, so you just go off of what they said, and boom, here we are. That's basically how the Mormons started. One man, Joseph Smith, read James 1:5 out of context. It said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask. So Joseph Smith told a whole bunch of people in the congregation, I asked, and after I asked, he gave me these golden tablets, and here's the Book of Mormon, and here's all this stuff, and here I am, the prophet Joseph Smith, and there's a whole religion as a result that has added to the Bible, even though the Bible said don't add nothing to it, but nobody read that, I guess. Nobody checked them on that, I guess. And now he calls himself a prophet, like many other people call themselves a prophet. But if you read the Bible, it tells you in the Bible that if a prophet is a prophet of God, he will not miss on any predictions. Joseph Smith has missed on 50% of his predictions, and the other 50% were things I could have predicted. Hey, it's not going to rain in the next 10 minutes. Bet that. Now watch God show me. I mean, this is Indiana, right? It might be snowing in the next 10 minutes, right? But that's what it looks like. If all you do is come here, come to me, being Rashad Cunningham, and you learn from me, being Rashad Cunningham, then you in a bad position. You in a real bad position. Because your relationship is through me, and you can't get in on my coattails. I tell my wife and daughter all the time, what I'm doing in my relationship, I hope you are following my example, and you're growing, and you're deepening your own relationship, but you can't get in on me. And that's my child and my wife. So how much more are just my friends and siblings in Christ? Like, y'all can't get in. You can't say, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I go to church on the rock. First of all, we let people go camping on Memorial Day. I don't know if y'all going to get to heaven on that. So that's the instruction of Jesus. Let's keep going here because I'm moving. I think I'm doing pretty good. Don't know where my time is at. But this right here, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I want you to see what kind of learn this is right here. This is when Paul talks about I can do all things through Christ, one of the most misquoted scriptures ever. He's talking about contentment. And when he says that, look what he says. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned, gained experience and understanding from my experience to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And then he goes on, and in the Rashad translation, he basically says, I've ate at Ruth Chris and I've had ramen noodles. I know how to eat ramen noodles and be content. I know how to eat Ruth Chris and be content. That's kind of what he says there, right? So he's saying, I've experienced it. I've been poor and I've had luxury. And I can be content with anything because of my experience. So that's what that learned. When he says learn from me, that's what he's saying. Experience me. Don't just read about me, actually experience me, which means you're going to have to go out and walk on faith sometimes just to see what he does in that moment, to have that experience. Some of us don't have any experiences because we won't get outside of our little shell of everything being comfortable and content. So he says, learn from me, not from your traditions, right? People walking in, you have to dress this way, you have to look this way, you have to... No, learn from me. Read the Bible, read about me, read about the grace I have, learn from me. Don't let people tell you how to be a Christian. Go find out for yourself. Learn from me. So the next point, the information of Jesus. Matthew 11:29 says, he goes on to say, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now that word gentle, meek is a better translation, but even then that's a hard translation because when you get deep into the Greek right there, it's God's strength under control. So it's like he's looking at you saying, I have all this power, all this possibility, I have all this power I could demonstrate, but I'm not going to with harshness. Like when you look at the position of the Pharisees, they had a lot of power, they had a lot of say, they had a lot that they could do, and they laid that heavy hand on you, right? Like as a pastor here, I have, when people come and join the church, I have authority. I have power in your life that you've given me freely. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You can have this heavy hand of, this is what I said we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. When you walk in here, I'm getting on your case. I'm just heavy-handed with this power that you have given me. Or I can look at Christ and he says, look, I got even more power than that. And I'm restrained with it. And I let God determine how I use that power. That's what he's saying here. I'm gentle. It's a little bit different than gentle because it's not some wimp. Christ was no wimp. He had power. It's a restraint on it based on what God wants him to do with it. You are put in many positions of power many, many times. How will you use that? I tell people in the marriage counselings all the time, love is giving somebody the power to destroy you. That's what you're doing when you love somebody. When I love my wife, I have given you access to my life where you can destroy me. Your gentleness is not using that to destroy me. Your meekness is not taking that power that you have and destroying me, and vice versa. Well, Jesus has that power. God has that power, right? Creator of all things could take you out like that. And honestly, we all deserve that, right? We deserve death. We deserve hell. And in his gentleness, his loving kindness, his patience, he doesn't display it like that. And that's the learn from me that you're supposed to see as you're yoked up with him, as you're watching him, as you see Jesus respond to the adulterer, to the woman at the well. Has the power to do whatever he wants right then and would be just in doing it. Instead, what does he do? He loves. He's patient. He saves. Learn from that gentleness and that humility in his heart. That's the information there. He tells you to come, the invitation. Then he gives you the instruction, like, this is what you need to do. And when you're learning, here's the information you're going to get. I'm gentle. I'm humble, which means I'm more reliant on God than self. This is Jesus talking. More reliant on God than self. 1 Peter 5 is a very, very good example of this. He says, therefore, humble yourselves. Right prior to this, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Keep going. He says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, that's humility. It's that I am tired, that I am jacking up, that I am messing up, that I can't get it together. And I'm not going to try to get it together. Instead, I'm going to give it to him to get me together. That's humility. That's what we have to work on. Because then we won't come to him because we won't feel like we are tired. Oh, I got a little bit more energy. I can do more. I can do more. I can get this together. I can make this work. And he says, cast that on me. Why? Because, A, I care for you, but that's what humility is. I will exalt you at the proper time. So we got the invitation, the information, the invitation, the, help me out here, I lost my second eye, instruction, the information, and let's go to the last one here, the intention of Jesus is kind of in both of them. Matthew 11, 28, he says, I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 29, he says, you will find rest for your souls. That's the entire intention of this passage. If you come to him, he says, I will. He didn't say, I might give you rest, Corey. I'll think about it when you get there. I know my daughter hates that. Dad, can I go spend the night with Grace? I'll think about it. Maybe. ask me, come to me later on this week, and I might give you an answer. That's kind of how I do it. Well, see, he says, I will. It's a guaranteed rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. And a lot of us read that, and we instantly go to like, oh, that means I can go to sleep more. I can do, well, okay, that's cool, but this is looking at your soul. You see, the greatest rest I have found is in salvation, period. And the greatest rest I've found that I can give others is in my salvation. See, if I was to pass away today, my wife and my child know where I'm going. My friends and family know where I'm going. That's rest. That's rest. That same rest that comes with salvation is why you can look at Paul when he says, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? You can walk around more bold in your proclaiming of the gospel because the worst that they can do to you here is kill you. And that's nothing. Matthew 10 says, don't worry about him who can kill the body. Worry about him who can kill the soul and the body, right? The creator. That's rest. I'm not worried about who moves out here or how the demographics change or what's going on around the world. I care about those things. I pray over those things, but I'm not worried to the point that I can't have rest. Because my rest is found in Christ. I'm good. It's the same rest that allows me to get up here and not worry about how many people come today when we sent half our church down camping. Because my rest is in Christ, not in the attendance here at church. It's the same rest that allows me to open up with the rap and not worry about who's offended by it and who decides to leave and who decides to stay, because my rest is not in my delivery of a message, a rap, or whatever. It's in Christ and Christ alone. So it allows me to not be steered by people and instead steered by God. That's the rest you want. That's the rest that should allow you to come in here regardless of what you got going on. Because you're not determined or defined by your fallenness when you have Christ. God does not see Vanessa. God does not see Lynn. God does not see Phil, Judy. God does not see Billy. He sees Christ. He sees his son. That's rest. Knowing that though I mess up every morning, though I mess up every day, when God looks at me, he sees his son, and in that I am justified. It is his righteousness, not mine. That's rest for your soul. Christ says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will pay that debt. And if you take my yoke and you learn from me, you will find that rest for your soul. The worries of the world get a whole lot smaller when you are resting in Christ. The expectations of the world mean a whole lot less when you are resting in Christ. So that's what this is about. It's about looking deep inside and asking yourself, do you have that rest? You could be saved and still not actually have that rest because you haven't learned anything. You haven't continued that walk. You've yoked up with them. You accepted them as your Lord and Savior, but you haven't made that walk and start making those steps to actually learn how to rest and give him the weight. A lot of that's because a lot of us have accepted Christ the Savior, but not Christ the Lord. See, you got your fire insurance, but you won't obey his ways, his commands, which are meant to give you rest. It's not a rule book just to be a rule book. It's meant to give you rest. That's what it's for. So today I'm asking anybody in here, even if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you have that rest? Do you truly have that rest? You see, it gets rid of your traditions. It allows us to say, hey, we're just going to do two songs and a quick sermon and get back to resting in Christ, knowing that the length of this sermon, the length of this church service does not determine our salvation or how much of a Christian we are. It gives us the liberty to do things a little bit different here at Church on the Rock because we believe the rest is found in Christ alone. Where are you at with that? Where are your struggles with that? Maybe you don't even have the initial rest of just knowing that when this life is over, this temporary life, that you'll be resting in peace. It hurts. How often I see that on Facebook for somebody that just based on the fruits, it doesn't look like they're going to be resting in peace. There is no rest for those who have no relationship with Christ. And that goes for the ones that look bad on the outside or the ones who just are too stubborn, prideful, or whatever to say that I need him. So they could be good. Oh, that's a good person. That's great. Do they believe in Christ? Because the only good person that ever walked this earth was him. So I want you to just reflect over the come as you are. Reflect on the rest that he's calling you to, that he's inviting you to. Understand, here at Church on the Rock, we mean that. From the outside in your clothes or from the inside in your character, come as you are. We wants you exactly the way you are, because we want to lead you to the rest, which is Jesus Christ. Don't wait. It's an urgent command. Come now. Make it happen today, right this moment, because he could be back 2 seconds from now. Accept him today. I'll be over to the side. I'm going to ask Corey to stand up also. If you want to talk with one of us or just somebody in this congregation about receiving that rest, please, please come speak to us. If you're saved, but you don't know what that rest is, please, let me come pray with you, speak with you. This is what that dedicated discipleship is about. It's saying that I'm going to walk with you until you can walk with others. Let's start taking that walk together. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.